The Word of God comes to us this morning from Psalm 67. Psalm 67. This will be a homily on the harvest. Hear God's Word. For the choir director with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. God be gracious to us and bless us, and cause His face to shine upon us, Selah. That Thy way may be known on the earth, Thy salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise Thee, O God. Let all the peoples praise Thee. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for Thou wilt judge the peoples with uprightness and guide the nations of the earth. Selah. Let the peoples praise Thee, O God. Let all the peoples praise Thee. The earth has yielded its produce. God, our God, blesses us. God blesses us that all the ends of the earth may fear Him. Now this is the Word of God to us this morning. The grass withers and the flower fades away, but the Word of our God shall endure forever. Would you pray with me? Our Father, as we look at this passage this morning, we pray that You would stir up our hearts to be all that You have called us to be as Your people living in this world. O Lord our God, open our eyes that we may behold wonderful things from Your Word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God spoke to Moses, and Moses spoke to the people God's Word, and he said that three times a year all of your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place where He chooses. That place eventually became Jerusalem, where the temple was erected. It was not just a feast for men, because the Bible tells us that Jesus' parents, Mary and Joseph, went to Jerusalem every year for the feast of the Passover, and when Jesus became 12, He went with them. It was a feast. The males were to be sure to represent the family, but wives and children would often go. Two of those feasts were held in the springtime, the Feast of the Passover and the Feast of Weeks, which was called Pentecost in the New Testament. They had one fall festival. It was called the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths, because for a week they would gather together in Jerusalem and in the temple area, and they would camp out in tents, remembering their life formerly as a nation in the wilderness. The Feast of Booths was held at the end of the agricultural season, when the grain was harvested and threshed and all the grapes had been harvested and pressed. And they gathered together in Jerusalem to worship and to bring their offerings. God said this, "They shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed." So they must not have been Presbyterians. At some point during those feasts, I don't know how often it happened or how many times it occurred, but the high priest would lift up his hands and say the words, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace." Now it's my particular and maybe peculiar interpretation of this psalm that it was written for the Feast of Booths in particular. In verse 6 of the text, you have the only past tense that's in the whole psalm. The earth has yielded its produce. The harvest had happened. And at some point, the high priest had given the benediction upon the people. And now, the choir director and the people respond to that benediction that was given. And really, this psalm is all about the harvest. And there are three things here that I want you to note about the harvest this morning, and we'll look at it very briefly. First, the pattern of the harvest, verses 1 and 2. Secondly, the prayer for the harvest, verses 3 through 5. And then thirdly, the provision for the harvest, verses 6 and 7. Note in the first place with me what I'm calling the pattern of the harvest, verses 1 and 2. God be gracious to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us, that Thy way may be known on the earth and Thy salvation among all nations. The pattern for the harvest is really unfolded here based upon two great blessings that you find in the Old Testament. You see, Derek Kidner, a great Old Testament theologian, mentions here that the text basically that's being used in verse 1 is the Aaronic benediction of Numbers. But the spirit of this phrase is the spirit of the promise that was given to Abraham. He uses kind of a shorthand as he responds to that benediction. He changes the persons from the Lord bless you to the Lord bless us. He focuses upon three key words in the Aaronic benediction: gracious, bless, cause your face to shine upon us. But the spirit of this is that blessing that was given to Abraham when God called him, set him apart, and said, I will bless you, and in you all of the nations of the earth will be blessed. That's the picture here that Abraham held in himself and in the promise of God, Jesus Christ, yet to come to redeem His people from their sins. And they were blessed as a nation in order to be a blessing to the nations. They held in trust the gospel that God had promised from Genesis 3:15. And why? Why? Because we want God's way to be made known, verse 2. And we want His salvation to be known among the nations. God blesses His people for the sake of others. They were harvested in order to be harvesters of other people. God's shining, brilliant face was upon them so that they would shine and be a light to the nations. That's the pattern. We as Christians sometimes act like we're in the bless me club. God, just pour your blessings on me. That's way too self-centered. The reason that God's face shines upon us here this morning, and the reason that God has called us to be His own special possession, is that others may know of the salvation of our God and the greatness of our God. That is the pattern for the harvest. Secondly, the prayer for the harvest. Verses 3 through 5. Let me just suggest something. It's kind of an inclusio within an inclusio. There's the repeating of the same words in verses 3 and 5. But let's look at them. Let the nations praise Thee, O God. Let all the nations praise Thee. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for Thou wilt judge the people with uprightness and judge the nations of the earth. Let the peoples praise Thee, O God. Let all the peoples praise Thee. You see, it's a big prayer. He's asking that the peoples of the earth would praise God. And not just, he says, all the peoples. All of them. It's a huge prayer. And what is it a prayer for? That God's righteous rule would come to people. That His good government would be inaugurated into the lives of people. And that He would be a shepherd, that He would guide the nations, that He would lead and govern them, and lead them like a flock in His love and in His kindness. It's a huge prayer. It's a prayer of anticipation. It's an exhortation. For the universal praise that will arise from the earth by the judicial and wonderful acts of our Lord Jesus Christ for His people. It was this phrase that led John Piper to make a rather remarkable statement that most of you are familiar with, but I think we need to be reminded this morning. Let me read his words. Missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exist because worship doesn't. Worship is ultimate, not missions, because God is ultimate, not man. Worship, therefore, is the fuel and the goal of missions. It's the goal of missions because in missions we simply seek to bring the nations into the white, hot enjoyment of God's glory. God has set us apart, brothers and sisters, that we might be a light to the nations, that they might worship the great God of the Bible. That's the prayer. Thirdly, the provision for the harvest. Verses 6 and 7. The earth has yielded its produce. God our God blesses us. God blesses us that all the ends of the earth may fear Him. Here you have that only past tense verb in the psalm. The earth has yielded its produce. The ordinary, normal blessings of the crops had taken place. The wheat had been gathered and threshed. The grapes had been harvested. That's the picture. But there's a twist. The psalmist places on this. As they celebrate this harvest of crops, and as they remember it, they're to see it as a picture of redemptive history. That's what's going on. Again, it's saying that God blesses us that we might be a blessing to the world. God blesses us that all the ends of the earth may fear Him. This psalm is so interesting. This is not so much a sermon. It's kind of a homily on this morning. But it begins kind of at home. They've harvested their crops. It moves to the church where they've heard the blessing and been exhorted by the music to shine forth for God. But then this psalm just flies to the ends of the earth. Since God has blessed us, since God's bright and shining face is upon us, the more the message should spread from us. The psalmist is exhorting with all these, you Hebrew guys, these jussives that are in this passage. And what's happening is, he's going after your will. The psalmist in the psalm is going after your heart, your affections. It's saying to you this morning, as one man said, don't wallow comfortably in the blessings themselves, but in order that it might pass from you to others. Great statement. I believe that John Piper got his idea from John Stott. 4 years earlier, John Stott was writing a book on his favorite psalms, and Psalm 67 is one of them. In 1988, he said these words, "We should desire their salvation, that's the nations, not just because they shall know Him for themselves, but that they shall praise Him for Himself." But they shall praise Him. And the greatest incentive in all of evangelism is not the need of human beings, but the glory of God. Not that they shall receive salvation, but that they shall give to God the honor that is due to His name, acknowledging and adoring Him forever. As we walk away from this psalm this morning, I was reading an article in Ligonier that was by a friend of the seminary, Jerry Bridges. And Jerry Bridges in this article was encouraging Christians who read Table Talk and who read some of his books, to pray. Not just pray for missionaries. Do that. And individual groups that carry out mission activities. But Bridges says that what we need to be praying for is the fulfillment of the Great Commission. And we should be praying for the promises of God that they would be applied to the nations of the earth. I have a friend in this area who is the primary stockholder in one of Mississippi's finest financial institutions, Bank Plus. When I think he formed the institution, he wanted to be a bank, but he wanted to be something that was a plus. It was just more than a bank. It was something he believed that would help people's lives. Alan and I know him. Derek knows him as well. I won't mention his name. But I was thinking about that last term, plus. Plus. All the blessings that God's given to our life. And I kind of put it together like this P from the song. P. Pray. Pray for the fulfillment of the promises of God in our generation. P. L. Live before men the glory of the gospel. God's face shines upon you that you might shine to others and to the nations. P. L. U. Using. Using the provisions that God gives you, the gifts that God gives you, the harvest that God has granted you, using it that Jesus Christ's name might be known in all the earth. S. Spreading seeds of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. See, the psalm's about Jesus. The psalm's about His victory. The psalm is about the promise that had been made to Abraham. The promise that God made to Israel. The promise that God makes to you this morning. God be gracious to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us that Thy way may be known on the earth and Thy salvation among the nations. Would you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, we thank You that You have harvested us. That by Your sovereign grace and goodness, You rescued us when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, and You brought us into Your kingdom that we might worship You. And we became a part of that group upon whom Your face shines in order that we might shine forth to the nations and the very harvest that we were participators in, that harvest would continue among others. So stir up our hearts this day that we might shine forth to the nations, and that we, oh God, would be so thankful that we've been harvested into Your kingdom. We bless You and we praise You and we worship You this morning in Jesus' precious name. Amen.